the book of Isaiah chapter 55. From verse 6 it says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, that's the state. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. He said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Alright, next scripture, open to the book of Matthew chapter 3. The book of Matthew chapter 3. Now, I want to just read something we all know. This was when Jesus came for baptism. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I'm the one that needs to be baptized. How come you are the one now coming to me? Jesus now said, let's do it because it's fitting for us to so fulfill all righteousness. Then verse 16 of Matthew chapter 3, and the Bible says that after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. New Living Translation says something like, in whom I am absolutely or completely pleased, something like that. Now, there's a reason why I read this, and you'll find that out in a moment. Let me just quickly review where we are. I reviewed things we said the last 2 weeks, and then continue from there today. Today, I want to put a summary or an end to what we have been saying about how to recognize the voice of God. Can you remember that? But now, this is our Faith Basics series. And one of the things we talked about under these basics, I began to do that about 2 weeks ago, is how to recognize the voice of God. And we explained, or we asked a question from the life of the widow of Zarephath, in which a man showed up suddenly in her presence, giving her instructions, and she obeyed, and she was blessed. And we said the question is, why did she obey him? And I explained along the line that it's what the Bible calls the spirit of faith. And that if God pours into you the spirit of faith, you also will believe. And we said that God has a power. He has the power to make somebody believe and has the power to make somebody not believe. Now, there's something that occurs a lot in the body of Christ. People argue and quarrel over certain absolute statements. Do you understand my point? And the reason, like Derek Prince said, is because the truth is in the middle. Some people will stay at the extreme right, some will stay at the extreme left. Alright? The truth, the request said, is often in the middle. Do you understand my point? And why people keep arguing is because they just put themselves at the extremes. Why am I saying so? I don't know, I think it's Calvinism, I can't remember which of them, that explains that you cannot be saved except God sees you. He said, at least those who will be saved have been predetermined. And without your being amongst those who are elect and who are so predetermined, you can never be saved. And some say that doesn't make sense. That people like Chastain say, if that's the case, then why are you judging a man who refuses to give his life to Christ that he's a sinner? Do you understand my point? Of course, so that the argument still remains today in the schools of theology. Now, like I was quoting the reference, the truth is that it's in the middle when the truth is. And what I'm bringing out, I just realized as I begin to read these scriptures today, that we are bringing out the issue that's in the middle. Now, I've made a statement again and again that God can make somebody believe and make somebody impossible to believe. You know what I'm saying? And the reason we have explained, I don't want to go by it again. But the issue is that it doesn't just disseminate arbitrarily. There must be a reason. What I'm saying is that God is pleased with you. He will shine his favor towards you in such a manner that he will put the spirit of faith upon you and it will become easy for you to believe. Are you getting that point? And we said that that's the reason why the widow of Zarephath was able to believe Elijah. That's one reason. And I said that, but for her, what matters is that a man said he's hungry. And that's where we are. Say that, how did she know the man was speaking the truth of God? How did she know that the man was not trying to obtain her of her money, of her food? And I said, that's of secondary importance in her life. She was a kind person. She was somebody who honored, I believe, as an example, as another example, the office of the prophet. He was somebody who helped the needy. Alright? And so when a man came and said that God said, you should give me your food, it became secondary an issue to see, did God really say or God did not say? The fact is that the man needs the food. Do you understand the point? What we try to explain with that is the fact that Christians shouldn't worry themselves, and that's where we are, and that's where I continue from today, so much about how to hear the voice of God. And I made some categoric statements last time. I said, don't worry about how to hear God's voice. Don't worry about it. You know, people say that what you do is that you kneel down and pray and pray and pray until your spirit becomes quiet. And we learn all those things in school. The truth is that they don't work like it said, alright? Somebody might give you testimony here and there how it works in his life. The fact is that they are not general laws, alright? Somebody say you pray and pray and pray and pray until you begin to sing in the spirit. You can sing in the spirit and sing in the spirit and nothing will happen to you. Do you get my point? And if you, look, listen, the first man who did like that and sang in the spirit, maybe for him it truly was a spiritual manifestation. Everybody else afterwards, you are just copying. There may not be real life to it, and you cannot make a method out of those things. That's very careful. But there are things that we can do which are right, which God says that's the way things are supposed to be. And he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You understand that? And all of that things, including recognizing the voice of God, will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What do I mean? When Elijah shows up at your doorstep, saying, thus says the Lord, and you don't know whether the Lord said or did not say, just check what the Lord claimed, what his name the Lord said. If it's something you can do, and it's good and righteous, are you getting my point? Then you do it. If it's something you can't do, or it is not good and righteous, no matter who says it, forget it, don't bother doing it. That's what we're talking about. So how do we recognize the voice of God? It's simple. We prepare our hearts in God's righteousness. And we don't worry our heads about how will I know it is God that is speaking. Are you getting my point? People have said so many times that you have to practice these things. I'm saying again, no, I don't believe so. He said, what if God wants to speak to you, you won't hear. Listen, there are many things that determine, and the most important one that we're discussing now, that determine whether you'll be able to recognize it. When God spoke to Samuel, let me ask you a question. Was he a big boy or a small boy? A small boy, that's the answer. You understand my point? And was he accustomed to the voice of God? The answer is what? No, he was not. But God spoke in such a manner. We are pretty cheap down on him, alright? About special manifestations. Because we are laying the foundations for our faith again. God spoke in such a manner that he had to hear, and he heard with his physical ears. At least, that was how it seemed to him. Do you get my point? That was how it seemed to him. That's a temple that if something just comes to your mind as an impression, don't tell me God said to me. It's not good a statement to make. Do you get my point? Now, for Samuel, he was lying down there. God spoke so loudly. He thought with his physical ears that he woke up out of his sleep. Do you get my point? And rushed to go and answer Eli. This happened a number of times until Eli realized that it must be God that's talking to this boy. And he said, next time you hear the voice, answer like this. On the spot, he was told how to answer. And God began to speak to him. Moses did not train himself in how to recognize the voice of God. He was just passing. And God used the bush that was burning but was not burning to catch his attention. And then he turned around, and then God spoke in such a manner that Moses heard with his physical ears, he thought. Do you get my point? Maybe somebody else standing beside Moses may not have heard, but Moses thought he was hearing with his ears physically. We Christians these days, Pentecostals especially, we have decided that every thought that comes to our hearts is God said. Are you getting my point? Yes, and we have confused ourselves and many people with those statements. And that's why somebody like me has to teach what I'm teaching now to help regularize the mind. That's an interesting expression there. To help regularize the mind of Christians again. So that they don't get confused. Please, get what I'm saying? So that they don't get confused. The reason is that a lot of people now wonder, was it my mind or was it not my mind? Did God say I should marry this person, or was it God that did not say so? Or now this brother has said that God said I should marry him. In fact, there are situations in which it's the woman that said to the man that you are just wasting your time. God said you should marry me. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? All those things have caused a lot of confusion in the mind of Christians. I want to establish our hearts again in faith. Alright? And what I'm saying is, what are we supposed to do under such circumstances? Don't worry your head. Just do what is right. That's what I'm explaining. Just do that which is what? Right. So if a man shows up and you're a young woman, especially if he has the gymness of a big brother around him, and something like my gym brother, alright? And he comes and says, thus says the Lord, you will be my wife. Don't be intimidated. If you don't like him, say no. There's no fight in it. If he likes, let him come down. He's been on the mountain for 12 days and he has neither drunk anything or eaten anything. Tell him that wife is beginning to see, he's beginning to hallucinate. Hunger is a terrible thing. If you are too hungry, you will see visions by force. Do you understand what I'm saying? I remember one brother was telling me, I only used to fast a lot. At that time, he used to see clearly and he used to sit in the realm of the spirit. I said, bro, you have to tell whether he's in the realm of the spirit or he's hypoglycemia. That's disturbing your soul. No, I'm telling you. So if a man comes to you and says, if you don't like him, listen, don't be intimidated at all. Quote for him that Pastor Banky said, I should tell you no. So what is the reason? Because I don't like you. I don't like the way you talk. I don't like the way you dress. I don't like the way you walk. I don't like your spirituality. It doesn't gel with my soul. There's no quarrel in it. He said, well, God said, that's what we're talking about, don't be intimidated. Tell you, God said to you, he did not say to me. And if I obey what God said to you, I will be in trouble. Because there was a young prophet and an old prophet. And the young prophet heard the voice of God clearly, don't return back there. And the old prophet came and said, God spoke to me that you must return back there. And he obeyed the old prophet and died. Are you getting my point? What are Christians supposed to do? We obey the recorded truth of God. Let me remind us what I said last time. I said there's a difference between what somebody will say God said to him, even if indeed God said it, and that which is the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God, I said, is that which is written. Are you getting my point? The perfect will of God is that which is what? Written. The word of God is clear. Now, when God is speaking directly to people, I said, oftentimes, most times, actually, most times what you are experiencing, all right, is that God has to downscale to what you can receive. Therefore, God will speak to a man, thou shalt go down, maybe from Enugu to Onitsha. And as God is saying it, all he hears is, thou shalt go down to Oka. And I'm serious about that. Why? Because going down to Onitsha is a matter of progress in the journey. And what his soul can receive is traveling right now as far as Oka, and God will not quarrel for now. So the man will arise according to the word of the Lord. Do you get my point? And get down to Oka. And God said, don't worry. He will develop over the next 4 years. Alright? To a point that he will be able to reach Onitsha. Then the voice of the Lord will come to him again, saying, thou shalt arise and go towards Onitsha. God did speak twice. God spoke only once, but twice he heard it. Because the first time the voice came, he was not ready to assimilate everything. Then as he grew up in his spirit, alright, he was not able to take in the rest. Then the voice of God echoed to him again. This time around it was clearer. Why? Because of the development that was inside his soul. That's why we read that scripture. Concerning Jesus was spoken, this is my beloved son, in whom I am completely pleased, in whom every single word I speak come to him completely and directly without any filtering by any impurities in his soul. Whatever I say, he hears it clearly. Every other person knows, they don't hear it clearly. So Jesus said to the disciples, there are things I want to tell you. It's the desire of my heart, it's my perfect will to tell you. But the reason why you're not hearing it now is because you can't hear it. Therefore, I have learned this and I will teach Christians, you being amongst them, that sometimes you sit down there, you are praying and pray, God speak. After you have prayed for 4 days, 5 days, 1 week, and you've not heard anything, know what God is saying in effect. Do that which seems right in your own eyes. I'm not saying do anything. I said what? Do that which seems right. Now, I'm coming to the point there. Don't think I'm telling us to live very loosely as Christians. No. That's why I said, I will first recognize that 5. Your ways are not my ways. Neither are your thoughts my thoughts. Alright? Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. Alright? This is the point. It's a thinking pattern. I've explained that. That's what I ended with last time. That's actually the matter with Christians. It's not about sharpening our spiritual sensitivity. I've explained something to you before. There are a lot of things we preach this and call Christianity and Pentecostalism. They are nothing but spiritualism. That's why our practices will look like that of a Buddhist. That's why some of our practices will look like that of a yogi. That is, all we are doing is engaging in spiritualism, not true spirituality. That is, you go and sit down and say, learn how to pray until you begin to contact the realm of the spirit. That is spiritualism. That's not Christianity. That's why it was never taught anywhere in the Bible for us to behave like that. Alright? Or that's what Buddhists do. That's what Hindus. You cross your legs like until your spirit begins to lift up and then you enter into other realms. That's not Christianity. That is what? Spiritualism. And that's why the world of faith movement, alright? That's why I came under intense attack. People were wondering, why are Christians looking like they are practicing Eastern religion? Because indeed, those things, people come with testimonies. The same way a yogi has testimonies, a Buddhist also has testimonies. So don't call that to be for spiritualism. I don't go by the game. It's something you can learn and practice. But that's not Christianity. It is not at all what? Christianity. Therefore, all those are our practices, alright, as Christians. Those things that appear like spiritualism, let's not bother with them. What do? We go for what? True spirituality. What is true spirituality? I was saying something. That when God wanted to speak to, I want to bring out this issue, to John. John did not have to cross his leg and practice anything. Are you getting my point? Go and read the story of somebody like Ken Hagin, who used to have visions, physical visions of the Lord, see angels and all of that. He says sometimes these things will happen, that he was not doing anything special. He just woke up in the morning, just had breakfast, and he sat down and he was reading. And I like what the woman said once. Very interesting. His name just escaped me now. He said he was going to preach somewhere. And he traveled, so he was tired. So he was sitting down waiting for his turn to come and speak. And he fell asleep. So he closed his eyes and slept. So next he heard, he announced his name. That, okay, this is not the person who's come to come and preach now. And he got up. And because of the presence of the power of God in his life, as soon as he got up, everybody sitting on his roof fell down under the power of God. And that, so people thought maybe it was in the spirit. That he wasn't, he fell asleep out of tiredness. And he got up out of the depth of his sleep. And he arose, you understand? And then, so, but that is, it wasn't like he did anything to cause those things to happen. Alright, when Christians are not taught, they think you go and practice out. No, that's spiritualism. When you start practicing, you know, those spiritual gymnastics. What am I saying? What are we supposed to really practice? God has a way of thinking. God has his ways. He has his thought pattern. And this is true spirituality. Listen to me. This is true spirituality. Let me say it one more time. This is true spirituality. That we learn the thinking pattern of God. Are you getting my point? That is what? True spirituality. That we learn the way God thinks. That's why I read Isaiah chapter 55. True spirituality is that we learn the way he thinks. True spirituality is that we learn how God thinks. It is not spirituality for me to learn how to fight in my spirit so that I can contact the realm of the spirit. That is not necessary. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is good to learn how to be quiet so that you can meditate upon the word of God. But you are not supposed, as Christians, to learn how to quiet your spirit so you can connect with what God is saying in the realm of the spirit. It is not true. It is not good. I advise you don't just bother your soul because it won't help you anyway. That's what Hindus do. Are you getting my point? Listen, what makes us safe as believers is that, you know, I said before, there are different ways into things. All right? Now, I read a lot about that religious and all of that, but I try my best and I just get to know things. And all those days, the man that, which I have given a lot of as an example, Buddha, alright, what is his own real name now? Buddha just means teacher, alright? Now, but the person is known as the Buddha. He was a Hindu. He was born a Hindu. Are you getting my point? He was just dissatisfied with Hinduism, alright? And he learned how to meditate. That's what he used to do. And finally, he felt that by the ways he had learned, he But Jesus now came and said, it's not like that. I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. That is, this is what helps us as Christians. We don't follow different ways. We follow what? The way. And what is the way? That's Christ Jesus. He's the person. And what do we follow? If how do we follow the way? We meditate upon His truth. We meditate upon His words. And that is what Christianity is. We are saved. We can never fail. Are you getting my point? I remember many years ago, I read a book by Tuesday Loves and Rampa. And it was talking about how to live this physical realm and enter into the realm of the spirit. And he said, I want to begin to enter, alright? We begin to see some creatures, and those that shouldn't be afraid. They are like animals in the realm of the spirit. They can't hurt you. They are just seeing you for the first time, and they are curious. I said, this is how people go mental. They are not my point. This is how people go mental. This is how they go mental. When you start going into the realm of the spirit and you are seeing creatures, you will go bananas. That's just the way you can. You can't help it. Your brain will go sharp and pack. You should go and buy Kulumeta. You understand my point? And then it be the truth. That's why you should be singing. Because you will go mad. And I've heard, different stories from different people who started practicing things and then they went crazy. I remember one of my friends when HS together lose this. One day I went to visit another of our friends and he was there. And that was the first time. We're all young, you know, teenagers. And maybe they were a little older than me. Maybe they are the age of 20 or so. But I was a certified teenager at that time. No, because I mean, a little older than me, but more than 19 or so, 18, 19. I never heard anybody play jazz before. So they were sharing things. Oh, this is small. And I said, what is that? So they played it. Very dry music. They love this thing. They close their mouth. I was very young, you know, like, what's wrong? He said, I don't understand. I said, what? He said, this is the music of the spirit. I said, what? He said, you cross your leg like this. He said, you will be playing it, close your eyes, and the spirit will begin to enter. You will be lining the edges of the room. The door almost scared me. No, really, classical jazz, a lot of jazz playing this is really hyped up, has a lot of they put some real beats into it. But then, classical jazz. I'm looking at that. Okay. Anyway, when I was 2 years later, I heard their commenter. That's what I told this story. When you sit down at home at night and spirits are lining your walls, you see, please, I look at it. That's sand kilometer. Who did it? Face. That kind of thing, that is the face. Start to increase. When spirits enter your room, are you getting my point? That is why I won't practice all those diaphonic meditations. I don't need it. Because when you begin to move, you go start to decrease. Do you follow what I'm saying? Why are we safe as believers? We don't need it. In our quiet periods, what we do, we take a Bible. We take a book. We begin to sing songs of praise. We begin to sing songs of worship. We are not trying to enter into any realm of the spirit. Hear me. The Bible says concerning Christians, say walk in the spirit. It's a constant walk. For us, spirituality is what? A constant walk. There's no time of now. Let us enter into the realm of the spirit. I cross my level. You want to enter into the realm of the spirit. That is how faith will begin to minister to you. You know my point? Yes, that's the beginning of Christmas. You understand? You know, I like to invent people all the time. Alright? That's the beginning of madness. Because you want to enter into the realm of the spirit and have spirits coming to talk to you. Most of those times, if any man says that's how he does it, no matter what he says, it's angels of darkness that are masquerading as angels of light. I like the way John Gillick said it. That no, Christians don't go out to the right to go and try and contact the realm of the spirit, trying to draw spirits, conjure spirits. That no, that when the time comes for spiritual manifestations, God will by himself stretch his hand and take it to wherever he wants to take it to. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. And that's why I read your Bible. You will hear it was John the Baptist, the father, what's the name of John's father? Zechariah, thank you. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was just going about his normal priestly duties. Then they turn, and one day they just call and say, "What happened? Look, this I know it is." Do you understand? Like, what are you doing? Are you a priest? Are you supposed to be here? He said, "I'm an angel. Come, let's talk." They didn't go and say, "Today I just see an angel." Nothing like that. In fact, when Mary saw Angel Gabriel, it was like, "This angel, he wants to spoil my life. What is it? Do you follow what I'm saying?" He said, "I'm going to have a child. How is that possible?" That is, she didn't come trying to see an angel. Christians, please don't practice how to see anything. What you need is the perfect will of God. And that is what? Recorded. That's what you need. The perfect will of God. Which is what? Recorded. A lot of times we preach as spiritual quality by the Spirit. Yeah, I don't believe it. And nothing I learned about it, I learned this when I was in best. I grew up and realized it's not different. You pray until something stays in your spirit. All that you would get from it is confusion. Let me tell you how to walk in the spirit, Christianity. You learn the thought patterns of God. And anytime He puts you or you find yourself in a situation where you have to make decisions, you do that which seems right to you according to the thought patterns of God that you have learned already. That's spirituality. You hear what I said? Let me say it again. If I get to crossroads, the road is crossed and I'm supposed to move. Do I turn to the left? Or turn to the right? Or cross the junction and keep on going ahead straight? This is what I do. I will commit my ways unto the Lord. Are you getting my point? I pray about the situation. After that, I do that which is reasonable. If I don't know what to do, I don't do anything. Because not doing anything, as far as God is concerned, it is still a doing of something. If they say go left, right, or center, you don't know, either go left, right, or go on, keep on going straight, you don't know which one to take. You will stay there until you know which one to take. I told us about praying. You pray and ask God, lead me. Because there are different ways He will lead. I told the story of Ben Carson to show us an example. A woman and her husband had so much faith concerning the healing of their child. They did not just say, okay, they didn't just come and say, all right, since they have faith, I'll just do anything. They said, no, I have to do what is medically reasonable. Are you getting my point? So what do we do? We do that which is reasonable. Now, when I say reasonable, all right, which is what we will do. A lot of people think that you are saying they should do that which anybody else would do. Now, let me get down there again. That's what I'm talking about today. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When the last time we did. That is what the normal person, the normal human being on the earth, calls reasonable, may not be reasonable to me. And that is what spirituality is. Real spirituality is I form my reasons based on the word of God. So what I call reasonable is only what is sensible as far as God is concerned. Let me give you an example. We talked about Ruth and Naomi, right? Now, for a second, think about it. What Ruth did, was it reasonable? It depends on who's judging. Are you getting what I'm saying? If other young girls, young women of her age were to judge, this is risky. This is risky. How can? No. My hand on deal. Why? Because with them, what is paramount is their own personal safety. Are you getting my point? So, it's not reasonable what she did. But come over to Ruth's heart. What she did, was it reasonable? Yes. Because for her, the options are, my mother-in-law will suffer and be alone in her old age. Or, she will have somebody to help her, at least until she dies. Well, those are the options. And what is reasonable there for her was simple. I can't leave her to suffer. Do you get the point I mean? So when I talk about what is reasonable, I don't mean we go out and try and reason like everybody else reason. That's not what I mean by reasonable. What I mean by
reasonable is that you have learnt the way God thinks. Are you getting my point? And because of that, certain things are reasonable to you. Let me give you an example. You have come to understand by studying the Word of God that when it comes to doing business, as an example, that money is not amongst the most important things. What I mean is this. That righteousness is first. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, let's take some of the most corrupt people on earth, alright? Mafia people, alright? Alright, let's do what I'm saying, alright? Because for them, money is everything. Money is everything. Money is everything. A man shoots you and tells you, don't be angry. I'm just doing business. And truthfully, he expects you to be reasonable. He expects you to understand. And he expects that if you were in his shoes, you should shoot him too. So he tells you, come on, don't take it personal. We're just doing business. And he, do you understand what I'm saying? To him, that is reasonable. Do you get my point? Because for him, it's all about money. I went to buy a car battery a few days ago. And I had to instruct a young man who I buy from. I saw this particular, I said, where is it? He says in Germany. And I laughed at him, I said, it's not possible. He said it's Germany. I said, listen, you know, you don't need to tell me this. I called you, I have your phone number. I need a part dealer I can trust. I don't want this kind of sweet talk. I said, let me put this in London, Germany. He said, I should go ahead. Please, when you want to connect, you know the way Chinese will write. Please connect the terminal. You know this way. You turn the English upside down. Just make sure battery not wet. So I read something like that for him. I said that kind of English only comes out of China. When you buy something and you see the story, you know there are two kinds of Chinese products in Nigeria. There are American products made in China. Every Motorola phone you pick is made in China. Almost every computer, apart from some Dells come from Malaysia, but almost every other computer we buy in Nigeria is made in China. Even whether it's Dell, Toshiba, HP. But then, there are some made in China. It's not by Dell, but you can put Dell on it if you want. You know what I mean? So, if you see, for example, a Dell made in China, there's no grammatical error in it, in the manual. But you see a computer made in China, no matter there's no name, you just put I am, anything you like, put there. You know what I'm saying? Now, you see all the grammatical errors, I mean, they are full of it. They said, you know, they tell you that, please, phone not good if used, you know, properly not, you know, that kind of thing. What is the kind of thing? So I saw something like that. I told the guy, I said, listen, the guy's not. So he smiled. This one I'm coming to. So I told him, you don't need to tell lies. What people like us need, somebody we can trust. I'm still buying from you. I mean, you're buying from me. If you don't have the good one today, tell me next time. I ended up buying one made in Korea, right? Now, he now told me something. He said, guy, you know, saying that those are the tricks for business. So I told him, I said, that is not business. That's lying. That's why I'm going to go with this. I said, that is lying. It's not business. True business, now let's get back to it. Having learned the thoughts of God, true business for me is that my customer is satisfied. True business for me is that I give him something that will help him. True business for me is that I tell him the truth, I don't lie to him. Prosperity for me is not money. Prosperity is that I can swear to my own pot and change not. Prosperity for me is that God will look and say, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. When he's selling his goods, he doesn't try to defraud anybody. Prosperity for me is that I have satisfied the righteousness of God. Are you getting the point? Prosperity is not money for me. Therefore, when I get to crossroads, I have to make a decision. reasonable. It's not what somebody will call reasonable, because what we are going after is not the same thing. I have discovered, as an example, that the Bible says that a good name is better than silver and gold. Therefore, I feel I have prospered more if I finish a business and I earn a good name, more than if I finish that transaction and I make money. Henry Ford said, "You can get virtually anything you want in life, you put your mind to it." He said, "But if in that process you don't get goodwill, you have not prospered much." Just explain something to you. So, for him, goodwill is important. So if he finished a business and he made a lot of money, and people are looking for the day they will catch him and kill him, he knows he's lost money. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, what is central in my mind, what I call reasonable, is not what the world will call reasonable. Do you get what I mean? I like to use this person all the time, because most of us are very young, and so we can't relate to it. I have to make a decision concerning who I will marry. Good character is good, amen? So, we should consider that. Yeah, we should. Don't worry, God has not listened. One day, a friend of mine said that, what did they mean when they say God? He's a Christian, we're both executive together on the campus. He said, because I have a friend here, he's engaged. And he said that the only reason why he's married again is because God says she married. He said, for all I know, this girl has brought me nothing but him. He said, what is the will of God in this one? If he asks me, I'll tell him directly, don't marry her. I come to my kingdom, this is perverseness. It is perverse for a man to pursue me. The very time I meet you as a young woman, now quarrel. No, if God said it, he will postpone to can hear, correct? I can't get that kind of thing. I wake up every morning that I'm happy until I see you. No, see, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I'm rejoicing the moment I see you while I bust. Listen, so I won't shoot somebody one day. Let's end this relationship. No matter what they do, there's a girl that listen, I'll tell you. She never listens to me. People are always quarreling. She always wanting something we can't afford. And then people say she marry her. Anyway, you're not normal yourself. Honestly, no, really. You're not normal. You're not normal. No, you're not normal.